If you're tuning in for the very first time, it's glad to have you with us today. Maybe one of our great listeners has given you the admonishment that you need to be listening, and we're glad to have you aboard. I always feel guilty on Friday morning coming in on top of that beautiful singing. Seems kind of seems wrong to interrupt such beautiful singing, but nevertheless, this is our time slot, so we're glad to be with you as we discuss the Bible, even as we have been going through the book of Matthew, and most recently have gotten into the Sermon on the Mount. And so, as we mentioned, we're in chapter 5, beginning at verse 42. And so we're really just getting going because the end of chapter 7 really marks the end of that great sermon. But anyway, we're glad you're with us, and we know that there's lots of folks that are out there listening. There's several of our homeschoolers that actually use mornings for the master all week long to use that time for their devotional period. And certainly we're flattered by that, and we're honored to be in your home. Even this morning. So wherever you are, if you're driving or wherever it is that you may be at this particular moment in time, maybe running with your earbuds in, we're glad to have you along. And thank you very much for listening. I know my great wife is listening. Love you very much. Glad you're having a great day. Hope your day continues to be phenomenal. I know my mom is listening. And she's working hard, looking forward to company coming this afternoon. So good to have you with us. Love you very much. I know that all kinds of folks are listening. We know the Hockets listen over there in the Abingdon, Virginia area. So glad to have them along. We know that the McClures are listening up in the South Dakota area. Certainly glad to have them along. And I know that Mike has just come through that stent surgery and is doing a whole lot better. I know he feels much better. So good morning to y'all up there in South Dakota. We got folks over on the West Coast, on the East Coast, on the Northern Coast, and the Southern Coast. We know that the Smithies are down there in San Angelo listening in this morning, and he's probably making some adjustments now, if truth be known. But he's constantly in there as that's part of his daily routine. So appreciate the Smithies and all they mean to the kingdom and the good mother-in-law there. Appreciate Miss Frieda listening in all the time. We're glad to have all of our first responders around here listening. I know that they listen in between shifts and to and from work. In between their opportunities to nap, perhaps. But whatever the case, we're glad that you are out there protecting us, so stay safe. And thank you for listening to the Gospel Radio Network. Elders and deacons, folks, there's all kinds of folks listening today. So what a blessing it is to have this ability to sit in this little studio room here in Mount Vernon, Texas, historic downtown Mount Vernon, Texas, and be reaching all around the world. The internet is just kind of beyond my grips. I can't imagine your voice going through a little piece of copper and then getting all the way around the world. It just doesn't make sense to me, but it is what it is. And so wherever you are this morning, another time zone, another country, we're just glad to have you along. And if you think that it's worthy, then have the opportunity to tell somebody else about the Gospel Radio Network. So thanks for joining us. We've got a lot of things going on around us, and so as we have opportunity, we try to announce those things. We've got flyers that come into us, and if you have an event coming up in your area, we would be glad to try to advertise that for you. So continue to send your flyers to us. One of the most recent things that we'll share with you is tomorrow morning we will be on the square till about 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon here in Mount Vernon. The annual Country Fest is being held, and the last, I want to say two seasons, but at least the last season, was canceled because of COVID issues, and so we're kind of glad to see this coming back. So we're going to be on the square tomorrow as the church, and we'll be handing out tracts and trying to be evangelistic the best way we know how in our little small town. And we'd be glad to have you come by and visit. Many of our members have already signed themselves up to work the booth. And so if you'd like to come by and visit with us, stop by and get a bottle of water. Maybe look at some of the CDs and the DVDs and tracks that we have available. We'd be glad to have you come by and take your shot at the Wheel of Knowledge. The Wheel of Knowledge, we're going to have that out there as well. Take your chance to win a new Bible as you are able to answer many questions. I think the kids have to answer 3 questions right, and I believe the adults have to answer 5 questions right in order to get a Bible. But we'd be glad to have y'all along. And so come on by and see us there at the Country Fest booth here in Mount Vernon, Texas, and that begins tomorrow at 9 a.m. We'll be much earlier than that, obviously, but you come by and see us between 9 and 3. And then after that, tomorrow night, out at the Satia Ranch, we are having hymns, H-Y-M-N-S, hymns for him. And so our good sister is opening up her field, her home, to all the congregations of the Lord's Church that are coming tomorrow night, and we'll be having a bonfire. There'll be, you know, hot dogs and hamburgers and stuff, I'm sure, various foods to share. There's evidently fishing for the kids, and so we're admonished to bring our poles and bring lawn chairs. So if you can come out tomorrow night to Tia's place, I don't know if you're able to write this down or not, but she is at 622 County Road 2930 in Pittsburgh. And we've got that. If you want to call back here in a little while and get it from us after I get off the air, I'll be glad to give you that. And even the phone number. We have a phone number available as well. So if you want to go tomorrow night, then please plan on doing that. Again, you can get in touch with the North Jefferson Church there in Mount Pleasant if you want to, and they can help you with that as well. But anyway, it starts at 4:30, you know, basically activities for the kids. And I think properly about 5:30 or so is when all this is going to kind of get kicked off. So anyway, that's tomorrow. 2 big things going on tomorrow. So it'll be a very active day. Let's see what else we've got. So this next week, if you're one of the leaders at your local congregation, guys, we have our regular preachers and leaders meeting. That's going to be held here, which is Thursday the 14th. And so be reminded to join yourself here at 10. At 10 o'clock, we're going to kick that off. And we've got our good brother from Grayston who's coming up to address us at the proper time. So we look forward to that. He's kind of new to the area, and so we've invited Scott to come over and speak and help us to get to know him a little bit better. So that'll be next Thursday. And then that next Friday, again, if you're local here, the Emerys have opened their home to us, and so their annual fall festival is taking place up there at their house. Properly, I guess it's Hagensport. The address is Talco, but I don't know. You guys that are local, you know where it is, but if you need directions or an address or something, again, call us here at the building. We'll be glad to help you with that. And we can get you hooked up with where to go. They're also, beyond even the pumpkin carving contest, they're saying that they're going to have an ugliest food contest. So the one caveat is it has to be edible. So that's coming up. And so they have several things going on next Friday. So if you can be a part of that, then on the 16th, which is that Saturday. So the 14th is the preacher's luncheon. The 15th is the Fall Festival. And then the 16th, the Howe Church of Christ is hosting a Ladies' Day. And so if you have the ability to come to that, the Howe congregation has invited you in, and they would love to have you come and be a part of that. But they have asked you to RSVP and let them know if you're coming or not. So Tammy Roberts has been invited to come over there on the 16th to the Howe Church Christ there in Howe, Texas. That's H-O-W-E if you're Googling that right now. And she's going to be discussing Footprints of Love. And so there'll be a lunch provided after they get started, and registration starts at 9. So if y'all can go, they have asked, ladies, please call 903-744-3608 and let them know that you're coming. You know, give them kind of a heads up about how much food to prepare and whatnot. Also then, starting on the 16th, that evening, the Love Lady congregation has invited Brian Braswell in. Brian's a great gospel preacher, well able to rightly divide the word. And so he is coming to the Love Lady congregation. He's going to be there just on the 16th and the 17th. And it's a little like the meeting that I hold every other year or so in Virginia. It's a Saturday and Sunday event as well. Kind of a neat thing, based on, you know, the congregation. You know, there's people that work strange shifts during the week. Sometimes Saturday and Sunday is the best time to get a hold of folks. So anyway, Brian's coming up October the 16th and 17th, and he's going to be addressing You Can Know the Truth. And so if you need more information, Jeff Rollo has left his number up here. And we'd be glad to give that to you if you want to call up here. And otherwise, plan on seeing you there at the Love Lady Gospel Meeting starting on the 16th. Let's see what else we've got. Also, there's a Ladies' Day coming up at the Fulbright. I always want to say Fruitvale. Fulbright Church of Christ up here in Detroit, just not too far from us. And Chloe Osborne and Janae Oldfield are going to be doing the speaking. Chloe is the sister to our own Autumn, who is now properly a Macaulay. And so Chloe will do a great job along with Janae there in Fulbright as they speak on She Hath Done What She Could. And so this is basically the idea, as I understand it, of seeking opportunities to do good. And so that's going to be on November the 6th. They're at the Fulbright congregation. And again, they have also asked that you RSVP for that because there's going to be a lunch following. So again, if you're able to write, the number is 903-491-9562. So if you can go to that, please let them know. And you'll be well served up there. That's a great little congregation. Appreciate the Blantons and all they do up there for the propagation of the gospel. Let's see, and we're almost to the bottom of the pile. Hang in there, guys. Hang in there. Coming up on November the 5th through the 7th, that same weekend, the 4th annual Colleyville Lectures are coming to town. And the topic for that weekend is going to be They Will Know We Are Christians by Our Love. And so Ronnie Scherfus, Joey Davis, Cody Westbrook, Drew Hyde, Garrett English, Bill Burke, Andy Baker, and let's see, Darren Schroeder, and then Chris Groda are all the invited speakers that are going to be coming to share in those Colleyville lectures. So great opportunity to go out and be edified on that Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Certainly Friday and Saturday if you certainly already have somewhere to be worshiping on Sunday morning. But again, that's November 5th through the 7th, starting at Friday the 5th at 7 p.m., and then starting on Saturday the 6th at 1 p.m., and so running till 8 p.m. at the evening. So anyway, great opportunities coming up. And then last but not least, we've got our Camp Ida men's retreat that's coming up. So that's going to be November 11th through the 13th. And that's going to be a cost, guys, for $25 a person. And so Preston is probably still taking reservations for that. So if you can call the building and let us know, we'd certainly be glad to sign you up for that. But several individuals are coming. David Westbrook and Aaron Anderson are coming from the Home of Recovery. Dan Baum is coming from down there at the Gun Barrel area. Kerry Clark is coming in from Athens. And John McCormick is hopping over from Atlanta. So great lessons that are on their way as they're going to be looking into developing the heart. And so, again, it's November 11th through the 13th. You've still got time to ask off from work for a day or two if you need to, or make additional plans. But whatever you do, make sure you let Preston know if you're able to come. Huh, that gets me to the bottom of that list. And so there's a lot of things going on right now, as you well have noticed. And so plenty of things to do in the extra time that you may find. If you have extra time, obviously. life is so busy nowadays, isn't it? But one last admonishment that I would leave with you is the prayer request that we have been asking for on a daily basis for Deanna De Leon, as she has been in this horrific, just terrible car wreck. And she has made incredible improvements in her recovery and is farther along now than many thought that she would be. And certainly that has something to do with youth. Those of us that are a little bit older know it takes a little bit longer to heal when you're older. but anyway, we're certainly thankful that God's answered our prayers on Deanna's behalf, and hope that she will cleave to the Lord after he has brought her through this ordeal. Other than that, just remember to stay tuned today, and remember the many great shows that are coming up today. Behind us is Don Boyd and Chris McElyea, and the Telstar Archives plays all day after about the lunch hour. So just stay tuned. You know, keep it in your earbuds. Keep it down low if you got to, so you can still continue to work. But we love you guys, and we thank you for listening, and hope you'll continue to listen throughout the day as you have opportunity. The last thing that we need to take care of then is, drum roll please, our drink of coffee. So those of you that have your coffee, reach over there and grab it, and let's have one last drink before we start into our study. Love that coffee. Okay, so we, as we announced, are in Matthew chapter 5, and we just come through verses 41 and 42 last week, talking about the second mile religion. And we get that terminology specifically from verse 41, because it says, "Whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain," Jesus declares. And this looks back into the Roman civilization at the time. Roman soldiers had the authority to compel you to carry his armor, to carry his baggage, to carry whatever to help him out for 1 mile. And so 1 mile could be marked off. And then at that point, you know, certainly he could find another individual to go a second mile, and then a third, and then a fourth. And so you're only compelled to walk 1 mile. That was the law. And they knew what that privilege was. And so Jesus says, go a second mile. And so we, I actually have a sermon called The Second Mile Religion. And so we look at the idea of, if this is the first mile, then what might be the second mile? And so just for an example, if reading your Bible daily is the first mile, what would be the second mile? Well, diligently studying your Bible. I remember the picture in my head over at Miss Betty Poe's house. I noticed on the table last time I was there, there was a Bible and several other books and a commentary and paper and pens spread out all over the place. That's the idea of sitting down and really digging into at least one passage. Unearth all of the beautiful treasures that are found within that passage. That would be the second mile, in my humble opinion. And so that's the idea about going the second mile. And Jesus says, don't just go the 1 mile, go the second mile. Go beyond what is required or what is even requested of you. And then, verse 42, give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. So, there's some limitations on that, obviously, and you have to understand the seriousness of that. I mean, if somebody wants to borrow $1,000 from me, and I've only got, you know, $16 on me, what am I going to do? Am I going to go out and try to get a loan at the bank? Or, you know, there's no law against that. But you're not being compelled to go and put yourselves in harm's way necessarily. But if you have the ability, if you have this world's goods, and you don't give to another, you don't share with another, where is the love of God then, as John the Apostle would write? So we have to think about these things solemnly, and we have to meditate on these things that Jesus is teaching us. But if we have the ability, then we should certainly go forth with it. I can remember a time, and I just realized I better not say this on the air, but there was a time many years ago when a fella showed up in my driveway, a member of the congregation, and was asking for something pretty astronomical, I guess, as far as I'm concerned. And so I did some background research, and I called, you know, the old thing, trust but verify. And it was, in fact, a genuine need. It wasn't something that was as crazy as I'd originally thought. And fortunately, my wife and I were able to help him with that. But you have to consider these things. If you have the ability, then help. Right, so that brings us to verse 43, and we kind of get into this idea in the next four or five verses about love, even the law of love. And so, beginning at verse 43, Jesus says, you have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. Well, the Old Testament absolutely taught about loving your neighbor. It may be if you've got one of them fancy column reference Bibles that you're already seeing passages like Leviticus 19 or Exodus 34, Deuteronomy 23. Leviticus 19:18 says, thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the Israelites to hate their enemies. I'm reading something else here. Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So, making peace, living peaceably, certainly plays into that. Holding grudges has got nothing to do with love. And a lot of us, kind of deal with that even today, don't we? So, we are reminded that God hates sin, right? I mean, those famous passages that you can already think of, like Proverbs 6, beginning at verse 16, these seven things doth the Lord hate. He hates sinfulness. And so, we're not to be complacent with the heathen. And certainly, there's just piles and piles of places in the Old Testament where God absolutely showing his disfavor of sinful behavior has wiped out entire cities. Genesis 6, he destroyed the face of the entire earth, killed everything that there was save all that was in the great box, that is the great ark. And so the Old Testament taught absolutely, and I guess you could say an abhorrence, if that's a word. Abhor that which is evil, cling to that which is good. We are to abhor the practices of the heathen. The wars that we see that God is waging, you know, even with his Israelite army, these are things that demonstrate his hate for the sin, not for the sinner, remember, but for the sin. And when they resolve within themselves that they are not going to do righteously, that's on them, not on God. And so throughout the Old Testament history, you can remember that many times God waged wars on the evil people of these various societies. And so Mr. McGarvey, in his commentary, says, "It is a true representation of the law, therefore, in its practical working, that it taught hatred of one's enemies. This is one of the evils of the Jewish dispensation, which, like the privilege of divorce at will, was to endure but for a time." And so the law didn't teach hatred for the enemy. What it taught was hatred for the sin. And so we have to continue to hate the sin even today. You know, the Bible said, even in the New Testament, Jesus says that we are to, the true Christian will hate their family, right? Hate their mother and father, as it were. Well, as you look at the language in its great beauty, that Koine Greek, it's the idea of loving less. And so hatred is a word that should be investigated because it does sound. And I remember, well, it's been some time ago, but when I read across that in class one day, in the adult class here in the auditorium, one of the members raised their hands and said, "I thought we were supposed to love one another." And so we had a free moment to where we could actually talk about that word, hate. That is the idea of loving less. Matthew 6:33, Jesus gets all of our love. And then second, you know, would be a spouse or family member down the line. And so if we don't have our priorities straight, if we are loving our families more than we're loving the Heavenly Father, His Son, the work of the Spirit, then we're doing a great disservice to ourselves and even to other family members. But the idea of hating has the idea of loving less in many places in the Bible. He says in verse 44, "But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." And right here, if you didn't already see it, if you hadn't already thought about this, that's the cross. Isn't it? As he hung there and suffocated, what were some of his last words? "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." And so love your enemies. Love your enemies. That's not an easy thing to do. Some of the more dramatic points that we make in sermonic thought sometimes are these. Did you know that Jesus died for the ISIS fighters, for the Taliban? Did you know that Jesus died for Kim Jong-il? Did you know that Jesus died for the Communist Chinese Party? And on you can go. Jesus died for everybody. Certainly, that's John 3:16 and a plethora of other passages. But if Jesus loved his enemies enough to die for them, then what are we doing today? Do we love our enemies? No, these last, well, what was today, the 10th month, these last 10 months basically have been tough on America with, you know, the administration that's running things there today, selling America down the line, you know, allowing all this stuff to happen at our southern border, leaving Americans behind in foreign countries. It's pretty embarrassing. And our first inclination is, well, forget that guy. But the Bible says we are to pray for our leaders. We are to love our enemies, right? See, it's a hard thing to do, isn't it? When you sit down and really, really meditate on it, Jesus died for those very people that are selling America down the tube. And so we have to have that same loving, compassionate mindset as well. Not always easy. I will be the first one to tell you. Not always easy. But possible. Absolutely possible. Absolutely necessary to pray for them. I know that there's been many that down through the years have sent tracts, have sent DVDs, have sent all kinds of materials to the White House, hoping that the president would be able to change his view religiously. You know, our last president, President Trump, fantastic guy, did a great job as president, but he wasn't a Christian. And as far as I know, still not a Christian. He needs our prayers too. The one before him and the one before him, I don't know of a member of the kingdom that has run our country. So anyway, without beating that horse, continue to love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Just behave like Jesus. Could we just leave it like that? Just behave like Jesus. You know that old wristband that was out years ago, denominational in origin, but you know, it's got a pretty good thought behind it. What would Jesus do? Well, Jesus wouldn't drink that, or Jesus wouldn't smoke that, or Jesus wouldn't go in there, or Jesus wouldn't shoot that in his arm, or Jesus wouldn't... See how that works? And so as we're listening to this great Sermon on the Mount, we're looking at the Master Teacher, and he's telling us how to live the successful Christian life, because the kingdom was at hand. And so this is another one of those great admonitions. Love like he loves. Love like the Father loves. Love like the Spirit loves. So love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Especially meaningful there in the first century. You would remember some of the great persecutions that we read of just in the book of Acts. Those things that were taking place, and history records that all of the apostles died a horrible death. We call that the martyr death, but died a horrible death, except we believe the last of those individuals, which was John, the great writer and beloved apostle of Jesus. We believe that he died in Ephesus around the turn of the century sometime, even following the great writing out there on Patmos of the great Revelation. But anyway, continuing on, we are to act like Jesus, love like Jesus. Verses 45 through 47, let's just read these three together. The Bible says, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Here's a concept that is easily understood. It is easy to love someone that loves you back. Isn't it? Right? I mean, just take for an easy example. You come into this auditorium on a Sunday morning, or the auditorium, you know, wherever it is where you regularly work and worship, and those people love you. Right? You sing one to another. Colossians 3, Ephesians 5, you admonish through song and teaching. You pray together. You worship together. One of the most sacred things that can be done together as a family on the face of this earth is worship on the first day of the week as you sit before the Creator of the universe. And so you love one another. You are loved in that room, right? Now, when you go outside, when you go outside those walls, not so much, right? People see the Camp Ida t-shirt and the Bible on the front of it, or the Bible verse. You'll see the occasional sneer. Well, pray for them. Love your enemies. See, it's easy to love those that love you. But as you... as you think about the reality of it, it's hard to love those that hate you. Again, something is as dramatic as the Taliban. Yeah, that's pretty serious, isn't it? The guy across the street that always leaves his trash, you know, laying out and just think. It's hard to love those folks that don't love you back, isn't it? But yet Jesus, again, the prime example of that, loved all of those that hated him. And so he says, God sends his rain on the just and the unjust. That is, God shows favor to all mankind. You know, the sun that I'm seeing outside, the unjust are seeing it too. The great warmth that I feel upon my face, they're feeling it too. The rain that comes and replenishes the field, they're enjoying it too. And so the picture is very easy to understand. Love like God loves, right? He hates sin, but he is no respecter of persons. And so we all get the sun, we all get the rain, we all get the oxygen, right? We get the picture. And so he says that others, like publicans, they love those that love them back, right? The hated tax collectors. They love those that love them back. And so if you salute only your brethren, if you never speak to anybody else because they're not Christians, because they're not holy, what do ye more than others? And so, my friends, we have the great example before us. As it continues, love like Jesus. And so, we need to be different than the rest of the world. Right? We abhor sin. We despise sin. We hate that type of behavior. Yes. But my friends, we can still be friendly. We can still pray for those that despitefully use us, that persecute us. Don't behave like the publicans. Don't behave, you know, ultimately like the Pharisees. Those individuals that shouted, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" And so he concludes that thought with, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." Complete, right? The idea of taking on the nature of God, Peter says. Putting yourself in his shoes, walking a mile in his shoes. And so many times the Bible speaks about this perfectness, completeness, right? As we grow daily, we grow more and more complete in him, You might remember some of these passages. Matthew 19 and verse 21. If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. If you would be complete. You see, there are things that stand in our way of completeness. It may be riches. It may be pride. Several things that I can think of immediately would get in my way of getting to heaven if I let them. So if you would, Matthew 19 and verse 21, be complete. So the possibility Jesus points out here is that you can be complete. And if you would, then do this. Remember what Jesus said in John 14 and verse 15? If you love me, then keep my commandments, right? You're going to bring forth fruit. People will know, John 13, verses 34 and 35. They will know that you are Christians by your love. Colossians 1 and verse 28. Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. And so the idea of being complete is something that we need to be thinking about. So, love like God. Love like His Son who willingly gave Himself for us. That brings us into chapter number 6. Beginning at the top of the chapter, we look at the idea about motives. Motives in almsgiving, that is the idea of giving in a sacrificial way. Verse number 1, take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Obviously, Jesus here is warning against this giving of alms, this great work, just so you could be seen of men, right? In the last chapter, remember as Jesus told us, what was it, about verse 16? To let others see those good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So yes, men can see what you're doing. But the only purpose that they should be able to glean from what you are doing is that God gets the glory. You know, ultimately, the idea, if you would allow me this little bit of leniency, the idea, you know, when these guys in football or basketball or whatever, they score, a lot of times what do? They point up. Well, now, not trying to pass any judgment, but the idea that they are showing us is that God gets the glory for that, not them. That's the idea anyway. But my friends, what we see here is a motive. If we're just doing it to be seen of men, you know, I think about Smokey and the Bandit. as they're in that black Trans Am running up and down the roads, and what was her name? Sally, I forget her name. Anyway, she's sitting in the passenger seat, and she says, "What do you do?" He says, "I show off." Well, showing off is the idea of letting others see what you can do with no glory for anybody but me. So don't show off. You know, show in. Show the inner man. Show Jesus Christ living within you. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Right? That's the idea in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20 of reflecting the love of Jesus from within. Others will see it. So he doesn't forbid us to, you know, give these alms, as it were, in public. You remember that Acts chapter 10, Cornelius was a man that gave alms, right? It's recorded for an eternity. that he was one that did this, and he was respected by God. He needed to obey the gospel, though. And so we understand that alms is something that shows up over and again, over and again. Was it Mark? I've got a Mark here. Mark 12, where we see the widow that brought forth her two little bitty mites. That's all she had. And the Pharisees, they were just like dumping buckets of gold, you know. And you can almost hear it, you know, clink, 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 you know, as the gold was hitting into the treasury box. You know, and they would stand there and be admired of others for how much they gave. And the little widow, she kind of gets up there to the box and just puts those two little mites in. And Jesus proclaims that she did more than they ever thought about doing. Because she gave from her heart. They just gave from their overflow. Verse 2, therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may give glory, may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. You know, it would be like me, you know, I don't know. I'm just reaching out there now, but let's say that the Lord's Supper was about to be served, and it was my time to do the prayer, you know. And so I start thumping on the mic, and excuse me, y'all look at me. I'm about to give a great prayer. Y'all look at me. Well, that's pretty facetious, obviously, and none of us would do that. But that's the idea. You know, if you're going to give $1,000 to said institution, and you go and you call the newspaper and you call the reporters out, or, you know, the television station, and you say, look, meet me over here at 9 o'clock so that y'all can get this on camera. I'm about to give $1,000. What a good boy am I. And so Jesus, he warns us against that kind of behavior, and he said, yeah, you have your reward. You might get the applaud of men now, but in the last day, you'll find yourself in a Gehenna hell. And so motives, do it to glorify God. Verse 3, but when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. In the last day, when all of humanity is at the judgment bar, and God looks to you and says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Oh, you will be rewarded openly. You better believe it. What a beautiful thought. Motives on giving. It ain't about me. It's about God. And so give in such a way that your motive is clearly understood. I'm always tickled, and I mention this as often as I can because I'm so proud of the members here that, you know, I'll have a thought, hey, I need to call so-and-so. And maybe there's a little something we can do. And before the conversation is over, so-and-so was just here. Yeah, so-and-so's already taken care of that. You know, and they didn't call here and announce that they were going over there. They didn't call me, and, you know, and they don't have to, is the point. But the fact that there are those here that are always working behind the scenes. We have a great congregation here, and congregation of kids, too. A lot of times I'll hear that some of these older ladies, young ladies, I guess, you know, college age, et cetera, have already been out there banging the drum and doing this or doing that. And so what a powerful example that they are. Right motives in giving, but also right motives in prayer. Verse 5, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." Similar in context to what we just studied with alms. You know, I don't know that I've seen it, you know, too awful recent. But you might be in a Cracker Barrel or something on a Sunday afternoon after church services have concluded, and you go with your wife or you go with your family, and you're sitting in kind of a quiet spot close to the fireplace, and all of a sudden there's one of these guys that stands up and bangs on his glass. Excuse me, we're going to pray now. And everybody's looking at him. Everybody's looking at him when they ought to be looking to God. So a lot of that is seen here. The hypocrites that stand on the corners and pray where everybody can see them. Oh, look at me. What a magnificent prayer that I can lead. I can lead a long prayer, boy. I tell you what. Maybe if you've got so much to say, when you lead a public prayer, maybe it is that you hadn't said it at home in private. Maybe get caught up on your prayer at home before you come and lead the 35-minute prayer in public here. You know what I'm saying? Saying that with love, obviously, but motives in prayer. Verse number 6, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." You know, there are times that we pray just going down the road, don't we? You might turn the radio down and just start talking to God. Have a conversation with the Father Almighty. Tell him about your desires. Tell him about the appointment that you're going to. You know, you're fixing to have a mammogram, ladies, and you're driving to the exam, you know, and you're talking to Father God. You know, when we do these things, it's in private. We have our times with God. Closet is a representation here of a private space, a private opportunity. It doesn't mean that you have to crawl into your closet and get there next to your boots and your shoes and your dirty socks and you're sitting up under your jackets. No, it's a representation of a private place, a quiet time with God. Maybe you want to get up 15 minutes before the rest of the family gets up. And maybe you want to stay up 15 minutes after the rest of the family's gone to bed. Have some quiet time with God. But please know that He will reward thee openly. Notice the theme. It's over and again. He will reward thee openly. And so one of the things that you might say is the continuum there is the idea that if you'll act like Jesus, there's a great reward coming. Verse after verse, you see the very same theme. Jesus many times would remove himself from the crowds to where he could have a moment in time with God alone. I mean, wasn't a great example of that even in Gethsemane, where he had the three closest to him, Peter, James, and John, waiting close by. And then he would remove himself to a private place so that he could speak with the Father God. So motives in prayer. Not standing up, beating our chest, letting everybody know that we're praying. There is public opportunities, obviously. But what he's talking about is your conversation doesn't have to be on a street corner, standing up, banging your chest so everybody can see you like the hypocrites behave. And so don't act like the hypocrites. Don't act like the Pharisees. Don't act like the publicans as we go back a few verses. But act like Jesus. And everything will work out just fine. We'll pick up at verse number 7. Put my little mark right here. Verse number 7. So we'll pick up there, Lord willing, next week. Look, we've got into chapter 6. Man, we're moving right along. We're glad to have you with us today, and you've probably already finished your coffee. I'm going to go get me another cup of coffee and continue my morning. Hope your morning for the Master is wonderful. And all of you that have listened today, if you think we are worthy, then reach out and tell someone about the Gospel Radio Network today, because that great word of mouth is the greatest advertisement that you can provide for us. Tell them about the chat window and the various things that go on. Tell them about the Telstar archives that play during the day. There's a lot that goes into making this thing run on a daily basis, and so we appreciate David and Ryan working behind the scenes so diligently to help us all the time, especially me. I'm kind of a digital dummy, but we're grateful that it's up and running and doing a great job and saving souls. Well, we love you guys very much, and we're thankful that you're with us today, and hope you have a great weekend. Again, if you're local, come on out and see us tomorrow at the Country Fest on the Square. We'll be there from 9 to 3, and would love to have you stop by and visit us and say howdy doody. So anyway, love you guys. Hope you have a great morning for the Master, and we'll look forward to seeing you, Lord willing, Sunday, if you're one of the locals here, where, again, we can worship in spirit and in truth. Love you guys. See you soon.
Amen.